He says, but now this saith the Lord, thy creator. Yes. Or the King James Bible says, but now thus saith the Lord that createth thee, O Jacob. Take Jacob's name out there and put your name there. Because he created you. So read it with your name there. It says, I have formed you. Yes. God says, I've formed you, have formed you. If you go to Isaiah, the 51st chapter, I believe it is, it says, before you even entered into your mother's womb, I knew you. Yes. All life comes from God. You existed. The only way that God could know the plans that he has for you, the only way that God can renew you to the plans that he has for you, is he has had already knew you prior to you coming to earth. And the Bible proves it. You existed in God, in the presence of God, in heaven before we came here. Yes. When we left God, the throne room of God, actually when I was dealing with this and I was going through some time in my life when I was really depressed and heavy and I didn't understand life and I didn't understand what was going on and I was wanting to get out of church and I was wanting to give up on God. And one day God began to talk to me. And he said, before I released you to get to your mother's womb, I set you on my lap and I spoke destiny into your heart. And I just discussed over you and into you everything that you were supposed to do, and then I released you to the earth. Now, the Bible says that everybody's born into sin and shaped in iniquity. You came from God with purpose and potential alive. You entered your mother's womb into a sinful world. Sin is designed to separate you from God. So what happened was, because of what Adam did, sin is in the earth, and it separated you from God the moment you was conceived, the moment you was actually born. Into this earth, you were separated from God. But Jesus Christ came that you could be redeemed. Redeemed means bought back, purchased back. So the moment that I gave my life to Christ, what happened was all that my Father had spoke to me before I left heaven was reborn in me again. It was renewed to me again. That's why I'm able now to look through all the muck and the mire and see myself down the line there in the image that God says that I am, because it was already spoken to me. And the exact same way God spoke to you. Before you hit your mother's womb, he spoke destiny over you. He spoke purpose into you. The only thing is now for you to receive Christ and then allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind again. It's still there. You are still the person God says you were. Amen. He says, before I formed you, he says, thus said the Lord that created thee, and I have formed you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I have redeemed you, and I've called you by your name. Amen. Thou art mine. Amen. God says, I called you by name, Dungunit. I know who you are. Mm-hmm. Your mother didn't name you. I put the thought there. Because I knew who you were supposed to be. I knew what I designed you to do. I know the purpose in you. I know the potential that you have. I know you. I formed you. I put you together. I designed you. I know you. Stop letting sin condemn you. Come on over here and find out who you are. And walk with me. Come on over to your new beginning. Quit living life in the past and in your presence. And this is the extent. This is as far as I can go. Get on over to the freshness of God and find out who you really are. Let God tap that hidden potential that's in your life, because it's there. Amen. He says, I know you. I've called you by name. Now, when you step over into God, you step over to a place of rest. You step over to a new season. And this is what every person is looking for. Oh, I was so grateful when I found it. When you step out of the old of life, the things that you're used to doing, and you come to God and get over in the freshness of God, you find rest. You find a rest that you've never had before. Look at Matthew's 11, the 11th chapter. Let me show you how Jesus explains it. Matthew's chapter 11. You find a rest that you've never, ever experienced before. Verse number 28 says this. Verse number 28. Come unto me, all that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So first of all, Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Then he goes on and says, take my yoke up on you and learn of me. Amen. So take my yoke up on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The best way that I can explain this to you would to give you the story of the children of Israel. For 400 years, they were in Egypt, slaves, under the taskmaster's whip. They did what he said, how he said it, when he said it, and if they didn't do it, he killed them. 400 years went past. Moses shows up. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh, after all the things that God did, Pharaoh just, you know, came to his senses and said, I better get these people out of here or Egypt's going to be destroyed, pretty much. So now, all of Israel crosses the Red Sea on dry ground. You know, this, we know the story. We've seen it on TV. You know, if you haven't seen the Bible, you've seen it on TV at least. Then everybody crossed, all the Israelites crossed on dry ground. Then the Roman soldiers tried to come in and get them, and the river closed in on them. At that point, God had given them a rest. They had rest from Egypt and the taskmaster because the whip could no longer reach them. They were no longer subject to his oppression anymore. They were free. The Egyptian army is destroyed in the Red Sea, and then everybody left in Egypt is separated. They are separated from it, from them by the Red Sea. They've entered a place of rest. God gave them the rest. And the same thing happens with you and I. When you get saved, Lord, be the Lord of my life, God gives you that rest. He frees you from the shackles of sin. He disconnects you from Satan and all that he is, and all of his power is broken off your life. He has no more influence over you at that moment. But if you notice, he says, there's a rest that you have to go and learn about. Even though that the children of Israel were free from Egypt, they had to learn about God. And in that learning about God, there was a continual and perpetual rest. There was no fear, nothing that they had to fear. Why? God was their everything. He was the I am of their life. And now, you may be born again, so you've received the rest from having to toil with sin, but then there's a rest that you need to go and learn about on how to get your knees met. We don't have to worry about having your knees met. There's a rest that you don't have to worry about dying from sickness and disease. There's a rest that you don't have to worry about your children being destroyed, or you don't have to worry about somebody hunting you down. There are levels of rest that you go into the Word of God, and they're found in your covenant, and you learn of them. And when you learn of them, you partake of them. And then you find yourself in, you'll come to a place in God where you'll be totally rest. You'll just relax in Him, because you will know that there is nothing that me and my Father can't take care of. He loves me. Amen. Now, when you step over into a new beginning, you begin to walk in that rest. When you step over into a place with God and you start allowing God to be the Lord of your life, you walk in that rest. You live in that rest. And everybody's looking for rest, whether they admit it or not. I mean, if your life is just hellish and chaotic every day, you're looking for some rest. And everybody got areas in their life where they're needing rest. Amen. Everybody does. I pastor this church, and there are areas in my life that I'm still learning about because I need rest. Amen. Just because I stand up here and I tell you all the time, you don't see a cape on my back and an S on my chest. No, I'm still walking the path with God, and I'm learning every day. Amen. And I'm entering into different levels of rest every day. And I am destined to walk in the fullness of God. That is my desire. That's where I'm going to walk at. But God has the same desire for you. He has given unto you everything that your life ever needs, but you just have to learn where to get it, and how to benefit from it. Amen. Now, how do you find these new beginnings? How do I find my new beginning? How do I get there, Lord? Okay, you said I need a new beginning, and you're telling me that sin does not no longer hold me in bondage, but how do I get there? How do I find it? Simple. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And we're almost through here. Jeremiah chapter 6. Chapter verse 16. Verse 16 says this. I want to read it from the Amplified Bible as well. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus said the Lord, stand by the road and look, and ask for the eternal path, where the good old way is, then walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. There are two paths in the earth. Both of them are eternal paths. But one, the Bible says, is wide, and it leads to destruction and hell. One is narrow, and it leads to peace, and it leads to heaven. You have to ask. Everybody comes to crossroads in your life. And it's your responsibility to ask the Father, ask the Lord, which direction do I go from here? Mm-hmm. Because the Bible said there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that road is destruction. Mm-hmm. So don't never use your own wisdom and your own judgment when it comes to life decisions. Ask God. He'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a born-again believer, the first road he's going to lead you to is the road of salvation. And if you are a born-again believer, then there he's going to constantly, at every juncture, at every season, at every new beginning, you need to find yourself, okay, Father, which way do I need to go now? You will know when the time comes to ask. Because when the season ends, you will begin to realize things are getting more difficult for me to continue to you know, I can't continue with the same momentum here, and it's getting harder. It used to be easy, but it's getting harder now. Why? He's letting you know that season's coming to an end. Because once you cross over to your new beginning, you'll find the resources needed, the strength needed to continue to move forward. Amen? So when you're at your crossroad, and we all come to the crossroads of life, we all are to stand by that road and ask for the eternal path that is leading to peace, where I will find rest for my soul. But if you read the latter half of that scripture that I just read, it says, but they said they wouldn't walk in it. They just, you know, God told them the path, but they chose to go the other way. So I guarantee you that they found destruction at the end of their path. But I don't want to find destruction. I don't want you guys to find destruction. I want you guys to find peace, joy, prosperity, life in God, in the Holy Spirit. So you have to ask God for the right path. I can't ask him for you. See, a lot of people want their pastors to do it all. I can't pray for God to put you, how can I put it? I can't go and ask God about your destiny and find out all your whole destiny for you and then come tell you. That's your job. I can lead you to the path and say, now you have to make the choice. And then you go to God. Father, tell me. God loves you. He is not holding anything back from you. He wants you to know. And we think that we can't talk to God. You can talk to God just like I'm talking to you. He wants you to know right from wrong. Amen? All right. We're going to hit these last few points here in these last few scriptures so we can go here. I don't want to hold you all day. The next thing that I want us to understand is the power has been made available through the Holy Spirit to break you free from the past mistakes and shortcomings. God has put the power in the earth in the form of the Holy Spirit to break you free from every shortcoming that you've ever experienced in life. Now, let's look at a story about that. Go with me to Luke. Luke chapter 22, rather. Luke chapter 22. Let's start reading with verse 54. Luke 22 and 54 says this. Then too, talking about Jesus, Jesus has been taken. He's in trial now, right before he gets crucified. This is talking about Peter. It says, then took they him, Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they were all set down together and Peter sat down among them. But a certain maiden beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I don't know, I know him not. Now, this is the story. Remember, Jesus told Peter before all this happened, Peter, you're going to deny me. three times before the crow crocks. Before the rooster crows, you are going to deny me three times. Jesus told Peter this, and Peter said, "Not me, Lord. Please, I'll go with you all the way to the day. If I gotta die by your side, I'll be standing right here." And Jesus said, "No, you're not, Peter. You're gonna deny me three times. But that's all right." He says, "And when you're converted, strengthen your brother." He says, "Satan desires to have you, Peter, and you're gonna deny me. But when you're converted, after it's all over with, and I've restored you, then you go and strengthen your brothers." That's what Jesus told him. Now, we already see the woman says, "You was witty." Peter already don't say it one time. "No, it wasn't me." Then verse 58 says, "After a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not." That's the second time he don't deny him. Verse 59, "And about the space of an hour, after another confidently affirmed, said, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spoke, the cock crowed." Jesus already told him it was going to happen. "And the Lord turned." Now, if you go back and read the story, what happened was Peter was outside of the gate. Well, not the gate, the court. And at that very moment, the guards were leading Jesus out to take him to another courthouse. And at the very moment when the rooster crowed, Jesus and Peter's eyes met. It said, "The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me three times," in so many words. And it says, Peter went out and wept bitterly because he remembered. Now, here's Peter. Think about it. Peter was the one that said, thou art the Christ. And Jesus told Peter, upon the revelation that you have, Peter, of me, I'm building a church. I mean, Peter was the rock. He called you a rock, Peter. Peter walked on water. Through the stories, the Bible stories, Peter's the one, he was the one walking on water. Peter was there. I mean, Peter was, he don't see all the miracles of Jesus. See Jesus raise folks from the dead. He was on the mountain when Jesus transfigured himself and was shining like God. He don't see all of this. And now here he is. He's denied God. I mean, denied Jesus three times. And the Bible says he went outside the gate and wept bitterly. At that point, I guarantee you that man thought it was over with. I done blew it. Here's the very God, my Lord, and I denied him three times. It's over with. And the Bible says that Peter pretty much went on home. He thought he was through. Can you imagine the condemnation that was upon that man? He don't walk with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he know who Jesus was and saw the things that Jesus did. And just like he said, he's denied him three times. But Jesus already knew he was going to do it because Jesus says, but when you're converted, Peter, God is not worried about your shortcomings because he knows, I know that the power of my love and my spirit will overcome all failures of your life. Because he told him, Peter, when you get through, when all is over with, and I fix you and get you back on your feet, you go and strengthen your brothers. And now notice, this same Peter in the book of Acts, the second chapter, in the book of Acts, the second chapter, 14th verse. Here's this same man now. Now the Spirit of God has come. The power of God is upon him now. Now look what it says, verse 14. It says, but Peter, it made a point to say, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, by this know unto you and hearken unto my words. Now here's a man that denied Jesus three times in the midst of people, but now God's presence is upon him. Now he's been converted. God's power is there. And this same man now stand up saying, listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you about Jesus. See, God wasn't concerned so much about his denying the three times. God had his mind over on, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. Now, this same Peter is now getting ready to win about 3,000 people to Christ that very day. After he just got through denying him three times and at the courtyard. So God's not concerned about your failures. He wants you to put them aside. He is looking to your future. He sees who you are. He knows what he's commanded for you to do, and he's trying to get you to that. He's trying to get you to the area to where your life is benefiting. God is not worried. He's not scared that you're gonna mess up so big to where he'll never be able to use you again. No, he's not. Because he knows the blood of Jesus is stronger than that. My love is power, more powerful than that. And I know your future. I know your destiny. And if you let me, I will take you and do things with you that you never knew that you could do in the first place. Amen. Amen. Never underestimate your potential, nor let anyone else do it. Never underestimate your potential. And don't you ever let anyone else put you down. I don't care what you did, who you are, where you came from. Amen. God doesn't do it, and don't you do it to yourself, and don't you let anyone else do it to you. 1 Timothy chapter number, I believe we're going to chapter number 4. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 12 says this. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in words, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now notice, let no man despise your youth, whether you are young in age, whether you're young in the Lord, I don't care what it is. I had to learn this scripture when I first got in church, because when I first got in church, I was young. I was about 22 years old. By the time I was there for a year, I was on the deacon board and in the ministry. And you would be amazed at the slack that I got because I was so young, because you can't tell me nothing. But this scripture the Lord gave to me then said, don't you let anyone despise your youth. I know who you are. Didn't I tell you I called you by name? I know your potential. I know your purpose. I know your destiny. And so he began to instruct me. You stand up there, you hold your head up. I don't care what you did. I don't care who they say you are, where you came from. Never let anyone despise who you are. But be an example, he said, to the believers. He said, be an example in word. That's just your conversation, your speech. Then he says, be an example in your conversation there. That word conversation means your lifestyle, how you live. Then he says, be an example in charity. That's love. Love people. Let your faith be seen. Be an example in the power of my spirit. Because God knows who you are and he knows what he's invested in your life. Amen. Do not let anyone underestimate you, your potential. And don't you do it to yourself. Don't you ever put yourself down. I stood over in the store one day, and this woman made a mistake after she rung my stuff up. She said, oh, I'm so dumb. It just burnt me. And I said, don't you ever say that about yourself again. She probably looked at me like, you ain't my daddy, man. What's wrong with you? But I was saying, don't say that about yourself. You're not dumb. You made a mistake. Don't you ever say how stupid I am, how dumb I am. God does not say that over you. He does not think that about you. Don't you say it over yourself, and don't you think it about yourself, and don't let anyone else say it over you. And don't you dare say it to your children. Amen. Don't sow them seeds in there. Don't let anybody underestimate your potential. Look at Romans, the 3rd chapter. Romans chapter 3, verse number 4 says this. Verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every other man a liar, for it is written that thou may be justified in thy sayings and may be an overcomer when you are judged. So what someone else does not believe in what you say, who you are, or who you say you are in Christ? Who cares? Who cares if they don't believe that you're a child of God? But you don't live like one. So what? It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's between me and my daddy. Amen. And believe me, keep watching me. I will eventually shine just like he said I will. Amen. So what if you start off in something and you believe God told you to do it and it fails and they say, see, I told. So what? Keep your faith in God. Will their unbelief make your faith of no effect? Won't work. What you believe comes to pass, not what somebody believes for you. And the Bible says, let God be true. God says that you are wonderfully, beautifully, and wonderfully made. God says you are his creation, his workmanship, created by him, born anew in him. He says, I formed you. I know who you are. I know the plans. I know the purpose I have for you. Let his words be true over you. Let every other man be a liar. Because I guarantee you, if you keep your faith in God and you let God's words be true to you, regardless of what anybody else says, the latter half of that scripture says you will be justified in your sayings. You will overcome in spite of the whole world judging you. Amen. You have to do Do not let anyone else determine your future. Determine it yourself. Don't let people wrap you up and confine you to think, well, you can only do this, or you can only do that. Well, your education is only going to get you here, or your education is only going to get you there. No, I can get wherever God wants me to get, because his favor is upon my life. Amen. So don't let anybody tie you down. Don't let anybody underestimate your potential. You are exactly who God says you are. And the Bible says in his eyes, you're beautiful. In his eyes, you're just what he created you to be. Now, all he wants to do is to have the Holy Spirit walk you step by step into your potential, into your destiny, into your place in God, to your new beginning. Amen. Now, last scripture, Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Now, we've been talking about for the last hour here, walking into our new season, our new beginnings. We've learned God is not upset with us. He is not holding anything against us. He loves us. He's created us. He knows our name. He knows where we are in life. He's trying to pull us over into destiny, into our purpose. Amen. Don't let anyone despise you. Don't despise yourself. Quit being so hard on yourself. Amen. I mean, rest in God. Rest in him, you know. So what? You blew it. I blew it. I do it all the time. And I got a big secret. Let me just go on and just let the air out your bags now. You messed up before, and you're going to mess up again. Amen. Take a deep breath and get over it. It's going to happen. But know that God is not going to be there he's not sitting up there on his throne with a lightning bolt saying that, boy, that moment you miss, I'm going to get you. No, he's not. He said, all right, even though you may have missed it, I still got a path that'll just take you right on. And if I have to send you through a couple of detours, I can still get you to where I need to get you to. I mean, I'm God. Nothing's too hard for me. I don't care what you did. I don't care how bad you blew it. If I said you're going to preach, now I'm going to say this, and this is true. God, if God said you're going to preach his word, and in the process you end up killing somebody, go to prison, you might be in prison, but you'll preach his word in prison. You're going to preach his word, I guarantee you. And if he wants you out of prison preaching, he'll get you out. And don't think God is not confined to these little world rules and stuff. This is the world system. He's God. And he will change some stuff if he had to change it for you. Now, there will be circumstances and things that you have to deal with because decisions you make, they're just consequences for your actions. But your consequences are not going to consume you to the point that you are just, it doesn't bring you to the point of failure is what I'm trying to say. God is able to take you through a detour and get you back on the right road and keep you right moving. God has eternity to get you there, and you have eternity to get there, amen? Now, let's read this. Isaiah 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening the prison doors to the bound. Now, this is a prophecy concerning Jesus. Jesus said the exact same thing about his own self in Luke, the 8th chapter, I believe, around about the 18th verse. Jesus said the exact same thing about his own self in Luke, the 8th chapter, I believe, around about the 18th verse. He read this over his own life. Now, this is what he was anointed to do. This is what Jesus was anointed to do for you and I. Amen. Now, we ought to be saying it over our own self. Like he said over himself, we ought to say it over ourselves. But let's just look at it from this aspect today. This is what he was anointed to do for you, and this is what he has done for you. Verse number 2 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God, to comfort all who mourn in Zion, to appoint on them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, planted by the Lord, that he may be glorified. Stop mourning over the burnt and ashed things of your life. It's over. If you keep allowing yourself to grieve over what looks to be like ash in your life, you'll never move forward because you'll always see the burnt up field. But anyone that knows anything about agriculture, it may burn up, the whole forest may burn down, but you give it time. It's going to come back and it's going to be greener than it was before it burned down the first time. The ash is going to fertilize that soil. God, through the Holy Spirit, is wanting to blow the ashes away. And up underneath the ash is fertile soil, new beginnings. You can burn down a whole forest, but if you give it time, the trees will rise again. The exact same thing will happen in your life. I don't care what's destroyed. I don't care what's been burnt up. I don't care how bad it looks today. We're ending a whole year. I don't care what has transpired through the year of that is going out here. I don't care what the ash looks like. I don't care what it was that you done, how bad you missed it. Let the winds of the Holy Spirit wash it away. Let him give you. See, you thought it was ash, but in his eyesight, he sees beauty. Let him exchange it for the beauty. See, you're mourning, but he wants to give you joy. Receive the oil of joy. Put on your garment of praise and get rid of heaviness. Kick it out. God loves you. Remember that. He is not holding anything against you. This is a season of new beginnings. I was going to hold it until Wednesday, but the Lord had me do it now to prepare yourself for Wednesday. Look through your life. If you see areas in your life that is unrepented, Lord, forgive me for that. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, Lord, forgive me for that. If there's resentments in your heart, Lord, let the ash wash away and enter a new year, a new beginning, fresh. A whole new year of mercies, fresh. And say, Lord, I did not follow your plan for my life last year, but this is a new year. Satan, shut up. I'm not allowing you to condemn me anymore. It's over with. I've put it under the blood of Jesus. The ashes are gone. Father, show me the path for today. Amen? That's your decision. I can't do it for you. I can only show you the road. But it's your decision to get on that road and walk therein. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. And Father, I pray and I release my faith today that your word has gone out and has fallen up on good ground. And that every ear that has heard your word has received it into their heart. And I pray, Father, that throughout the rest of this year over into the beginning of the next year, that you would remind them and replay this message over in their mind. Embrace us all in your love, Father. Let us walk in a deeper awareness of your love this upcoming year. Let the new beginnings, these new seasons, be as real to us, Father, as you are. Who cares what we did last year? We put it up under the blood of Jesus. And Father, we are reaching towards those things that are before us. As Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, we are pressing towards the mark of a higher calling in you, Father. Holy Spirit, help us find our way. Help us get there. I know you will because you love us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.